Welcome aboard to a Friday afternoon in Chicago. Yes, it's rainy. Yes, you heard Kim say, keep your eyes to the skies. Demetrius Ivory is going to be here in about half an hour and tell us exactly what's happening up there in the what used to be the Great Blue Yonder. Now it's a big gray blob of water. But we're going to be okay because I think we're in for a very nice weekend. Demetrius will explain exactly that again coming your way in 30 minutes. Also in this hour, we're going to meet the new union organizer for the pot shops in Chicago. At least one pot shop got union organized. And I'm like, really? Really? We'll find out what that's all about. I'd like to know about that job. But before we do anything crazy, let's talk to our downtown alderman. Brian Hopkins is joining us right now. There's a couple things I want to talk to you about. I have received, alderman, so many questions, and people are tweeting at me and on the socials about this gun versus firework thing that's happening in downtown Chicago, but it's happening everywhere. Apparently, fireworks displays are happening in cities large and small throughout the United States. And there are a lot of theories as to, hold on one second, there are a lot of theories as to why these things are happening on social media. Can you shed any light on this?
Well, I sure can. Do you want me to put my tinfoil hat on or take it off?
Either way, you know what? I prefer the one on first, and then we can take it off.
Right. Well, the conspiracy theories that we've heard, they would be laughable. They're so ridiculous. If it wasn't for the fact that so many people apparently are falling for them, we're seeing this on social media in particular, to think that there would be any organization so sophisticated, so coordinated, and so well-resourced that they could launch a campaign to have this staggering amount of recreational fireworks in every city in America all at the same time, please. I mean, it just defies logic on its face. That's not what's happening. Now, that's not to say that this reported phenomena of fireworks everywhere at unprecedented levels isn't true. It is true. We have documentation on that. There was a published report recently showing a 700% increase in 911 complaints to Chicago's OEMC Center for Fireworks. We're seeing similar numbers all across the country. So this is real. It is happening. But there's no secret cabal of evil, you know, geniuses pulling the strings to make this happen for any reason at all.
Okay. All right. I would like to believe that. Because, you know, getting this kind of a thing organized in this sort of way could actually happen on social media. And, you know, there are, or 4chan or one of those things. But I don't know that there's anything malicious yet about it, unless it's designed. And some of the other crazy conspiracy theories here are that it's designed to get us used to the idea of gunfire, so that there's no, it's either a government group or an anti-government group, depending on who you read, that wants you to get used to the sound of gunfire or fireworks so that you don't call it in, or the government wants to get used to it because there's a revolution coming and they don't want to freak you out. That, honest to God, is one of the theories that is on the internet. Now, I don't happen to subscribe to it. I'm just saying that this is a phenomenon that is occurring, and the question remains, why is it happening with such frequency?
Well, first, let me respond to that crazy theory. And if that were true, and the organizers are out there listening, guess what, guys? It backfired on you. It's having the opposite effect. I can tell you from the calls I'm getting, 911 isn't the only one being buried in calls. My office is getting inundated with complaints about fireworks. And I've actually heard from some people who were telling me, Alderman, I called you last week to tell you I really think that whole defund the police idea, you know, maybe we should consider that. They're calling me now. I need the police tomorrow on my block. Please arrest these people. Throw them in jail. I can't get a good night's sleep. My dog is having a heart attack. So it's not promoting any sort of anti-police sentiment or anti-gun sentiment. It's not doing any of that. What it's doing is annoying people who are trying to get a good night's sleep, let their toddler take a rest, have their dog not freak out, whatever. Yeah. This is really a quality of life issue. And we're hearing from a lot of people of various political persuasions that are furious that this is allowed to happen unchecked. And it is, by the way. The police will be the first to admit they're really not doing a whole lot about it right now.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's hard to find. I mean, you can go to where the sound is, but you may not actually find the people who are doing it because they may have moved on and There's it is confusing. I will say that. And I now have a new theory I just thought about, Alderman. Maybe it's the Thunder Shirt manufacturers who are doing this.
Right.
There may be something to that. All right. Hold on one second. I want to come back. I want to talk to you about this. We also have some phone calls. The people have their own theories. And I know that you visited the zoo. I want to talk to you about that as well, because the zoo opened up.
I'm talking to you live from the zoo right now.
From the zoo. Wow. All right. Well, we do need to talk about that, because for people who want to come down and do something with the family and get out, starting Monday, the Lincoln Park Zoo will be open to the public again, but you got to make a reservation, and there's a whole way to do that. We'll explain that on the other side, but we'll get your conspiracy theories on why the private fireworks displays are so ubiquitous now, not only in Chicago, but around the nation. Here is Jen DeSalvo. She's got the WGN traffic.
Early morning, stay safe and stay connected with Morgan Kochmeyer's weather forecast and Sarah Gindra's traffic reports. Weekdays 4 to 6 on WGN TV Morning News.
Rokan Show Detective Agency is hard at work right now trying to crack the mystery of random and frequent private fireworks displays happening throughout Chicago, the suburbs, and the United States of America. Alderman Hopkins is with us. He's our downtown alderman, or one of the two-headed hydra of downtown aldermen that we have on this program. Before we get back to that, we have a theory here. Patrick, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Patrick.
Yes, sir. Well, I don't know if it's a reality or not, but I know that I heard that law enforcement has devices that I think that they're probably putting in place still. I'm not sure if they're already in there, but they pick up the sound of gunfire. And just the other day, I heard about the idea that fireworks have a similar decimals of that. And I figured, well, if they wanted to test them, that would be a good way of doing it, instead of shooting up the place. And then the other thought is, if maybe they're celebrating Juneteenth. And if anybody was celebrating anything or blowing out fireworks, why wouldn't anybody call in and just say, hey, I was blowing it up because of this? If you haven't had one person, then that's really odd.
Well, okay. So those are three different things. Thank you, Patrick. First of all, that shot spotter that you're talking about, that technology has been used all over Chicago. And yes, we did have an expert on that. Actually, one of the guys who was involved in the project of putting that up on the show 2 days ago talking about it. It might have been 2 weeks ago. I can't remember, Alderman. But that is true. I don't think that that's being used to try to confound that system, because that system in and of itself, the bad guys know that system's there. I don't think they're trying to confuse it.
Yeah, I was actually in a conversation in a meeting earlier today with our great director of OEMC, Rich Guidis, who was an expert on the ShotSpotter technology. And he told me that, maybe the salespeople for that product oversold it a little bit in terms of its ability to always delineate with 100% accuracy between gunshots and fireworks. It generally can do that, but what we're seeing right now is such an overwhelming volume of percussion sounds that its ability to discern between the two really isn't working quite as well as we would want it to be. So to the point that this is intentionally done to confuse it, I don't believe that's the case. But having said that, it is confused right now. It's giving us a much higher registry of false readings based on the fireworks, and especially when they go off simultaneously. Somebody on the block launches an M80. Somebody down the block launches an M1000 at the same time. So it's got the echo effect, and it can't triangulate. It can't do any of the things that it's designed to do, because nobody really contemplated the sheer volume of fireworks going off at the same time that we're seeing right now.
Well, that would only be a reasonable theory if it were being used to mask another shooting, to mask a crime. I mean, just to play with the system, people get tired of that, and once this stops, the system, they don't know how the system is reacting to whatever it is that is exploding there, because they don't have access to that information. Only the OEMC does. So I can't fully understand it. And I am not a guy that really falls for a lot of conspiracy theories. But this is odd that this is happening, and it's unexpected. One more theory here. Joe, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Joe. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I was just saying about the fireworks. Everybody has a little extra money who is working. It's an essential worker, because you can't spend it anywhere. And it's easier to buy fireworks now that they're selling them everywhere around Illinois. And you got everybody who's bored, who has nothing to do at night. So that's why it's being blown off constantly.
You know what, Joe?
We have a winner.
Good. That's a great exactly. That's as good a theory as any that I've heard.
We have a winner. Give him the tinfoil-shaped Stanley Cup. He is the winner of the conspiracy contest. There's a lot of truth in what he just said. I agree with that.
Yeah, that was very well done.
Well, and I'll take it a step further, if I may. Joe,
were you going to add one thing to that?
What's that?
Okay.
I have $6 worth of stuff to blow off because I'm an essential worker. I have money that I couldn't spend anywhere, so why not?
Okay. All right, you're part of the solution and the problem, Joe. I like that. All right, Alderman, you're going to add to that?
Nearly all fireworks, if not 100% of fireworks in America, are manufactured in China. Okay, now this is the closest I'll come to a conspiracy theory. They're not exactly our friends right now, right? So there's no problem with the Chinese fireworks industry flooding the U.S. market right now because they're making money by doing it too. And everyone in Chicago knows if you want to get fireworks, it's really not that hard. Drive across the border into Indiana. Stop at any exit, and there's a fireworks store. Here's the real problem right now. It isn't the legal fireworks stores that are the source of much of what we're seeing right now. It's the guy in the van, in the parking lot, in the gas station next to the legal fireworks store, and he's selling illegal fireworks out of the trunk of his car that he got from, you know, his shipping sources in China. And that's why we're hearing such a loud volume of illegal fireworks that even the stores in Indiana don't have on their shelves. You can still go to Indiana and get them in this thriving black market, and people are making a lot of money doing this. That's where we really have to put a stop to it, and the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms is involved in it now, and they're trying to put a stop to some of this wide-scale trafficking and illegal fireworks.
Yeah, and the M1000, can you buy that in Indiana? I don't even know if you can buy that legally.
Not legally, but if you want to buy it illegally, it's not too hard. In fact, I could tell you how to do it. I probably shouldn't because that wouldn't be responsible.
Yeah, Alderman, why don't you do that? And let's see how Lori Lightfoot responds to this conversation. Yeah. Alderman, tell me how to buy an M1000.
Your listeners are social media savvy. So if you want to do it, you can figure it out. Yeah. It's not that hard. We got to put a stop to it.
Okay. All right. Before we let you go, Alderman Hopkins, downtown Alderman, you were at the Lincoln Park Zoo. You're on the board of the Lincoln Park Zoo. So this is like board members and members, just members of the zoo. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe
it's just members. It's a preview for. I'm not a board member. I'm just a contributing member. I write them an annual check and I get a membership card in the mail once a year. That's all this is.
And boy, I'll tell you something. Have they ever needed it more now than ever? Because they get most of their funding from donations like yours, and then the rest of the funding they get is from that parking lot that is adjacent to Lincoln Park Zoo, and no one's parking there because the zoo has been closed. And so that has been a real deficit. And they got to feed the animals. I mean, that's the one piece that people always forget about zoos. Those animals are not feeding themselves. They are being fed by your donations or the dollars that you spend to go to the zoo. Some zoo, obviously, Lincoln Park Zoo is the largest and I think only completely free urban zoo in America. So it's
you have any idea what a pound of Purina rhino chow costs? You know, I mean, it's a very expensive operating budget they have here at the zoo. And right now, all of the additional attractions that they make money on are closed. You know, the merry-go-round, the train, you know, a lot of the other things that you pay extra once you go in through your free admission are closed due to COVID. So they don't have that revenue source either. So you're right. They need help. Any civic-minded people out there, please support your free zoo. It's a great asset for the city of Chicago, and they need us right now.
Okay, as you're walking around there, we had the director of the zoo on a couple of days ago making this announcement that on Monday it will be opening to the public. And again, you have to go to lpzoo.org, Lincoln Park, lpzoo.org, and you have to sign up for a time that you're going to go. And that you'll get a QR code on your phone or in the email, and then you'll present that at either the east or the west gate to be able to get in at your approximate time. And that is an important thing for social distancing, and just remember the lpzoo.org. How are the animals responding to humans being back there?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. I was really surprised. I've been to the zoo, you know, 100 times in the last couple of years. I got a 4-year-old. I've never had the experience that I had in the last hour walking around the zoo. Every time we would go up to an enclosure of animals, the animals would come up to us. It was uncanny. I'd never seen anything like it. It was like, we haven't seen people for so long. Let's go see if this guy's got some food, you know? And they would walk up and they
were
interested in us as we were in them. Yeah. Although some of them, I have to say, were a little hostile. The ostrich, man, he was really mean-mugging us. Yeah. Didn't look like he was welcoming us back. It was almost like, hey, I thought that virus wiped you guys off the face of the earth. What are you doing here? You
know, right. I'm a bird. I'm behind these viruses. I like these things. That SOB. How about that? You know, I always tell people, I say this on the air all the time, if you go to Lincoln Park Zoo, you got to go see the macaques. It's one of the best exhibits.
Oh, yeah.
The zoo has.
The macaque exhibit. Yeah, it's awesome.
Is amazing, and they, because these are really social animals, and they, I mean, their characteristics. I know people always say that about apes, and that they're human-like because they are, because they're like 0.1% of DNA away from us. But these macaques, man, you watch the socialization of them, and the history of them, and the story behind these. These are isolated, literally isolated, tribal units of macaques throughout the northern islands of Japan. And mm-hmm. they behave depending on the tribe, they behave very differently. They have totally different things that they do, likes and dislikes, and ways that they, you know, that they crack that egg. And this particular tribe is a social bundler tribe where they, if they get cold or they just want to sleep together, they all roll up into a ball together. It is one of the most amazing things you will ever see. And you can stand as far away. You could put your hand at, you will not even be socially distanced from them because they come right up to the glass and you can stand right there at the glass. It is one of the greatest zoo exhibits I have ever seen. So people should go check that out. All right, Alderman, thank you. Appreciate
Thanks,
it. Ron. All right. Stay safe. Let's check in now with the news. Here is Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.